Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
And you're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live for the last segment of the show today. I'm Sinead Ryan sitting in for Andrea Gilligan, and I am delighted to welcome to his usual slot on the show this week, Owen McGee, investor extraordinaire. Owen, you're very welcome along.
Hi Sinead, how are you? Do you know what I was actually interested about your last piece?
Yeah.
There's figures that come out once a year. I'm probably robbing this figure off one of your articles, but it's 48,000 euros a year is what you should be paying the stay-at-home parent.
Wow.
That's when you add up everything. So that's one of the things that I think is not recognised enough, is just the value add to the economy, never mind to the family, that a stay-at-home parent has.
Yes,
but anyway, that's not really what I'm here to talk about today.
Indeed, indeed. And actually, I was going to start off, because I had a bit of a bone to pick with you.
Great.
Because, Owen, we know you, your Instagram videos have just taken off, right? I don't know, 60,000 followers. I don't know how many you have. Absolutely phenomenal, explaining in really easy ways about complex financial things. We get it. We like salt. Here's pepper. You know, explain it. I tuned into one the other day, and you were explaining the concept of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. And I have to tell you, I was none the wiser at the end of it.
You know what? I'm not sure anyone's wiser on crypto.
Yeah.
And the point that was lost with crypto is that we actually don't know what's going to end up here. We don't know whether it's going to be like I robbed this comment from somebody else. In 10 years from now, we're all going to look back and say, God, that crypto thing was mad. Remember, we didn't think it was going to become anything, or else we'd be looking back and saying, God, that crypto was mad. Remember, like, we thought it was going to fall apart, and look at it now, it's part of our everyday life. And cryptocurrencies are just so difficult to understand. Now, there are people, there were made plenty of comments on my post the other day, people who do have a good knowledge of them and do understand them. Mm. But the point I was trying to make around crypto the other day was, Sinead, you'd be fairly familiar with market cap weighting. Now, in really simple terms, what this market cap weighting is, if you lined up the value of every single company in the world, okay, and you line them up by value. So Google is one of the most expensive companies. If you wanted to buy the entire of Google, it would cost you more than a trillion. Like, it's a really expensive company to buy all the shares. But crypto at a value of, like Bitcoin in particular, at a value of 57,000, is only worth less than half of 1% of all of the financial value in the world. So what I'm saying is I wasn't trying to make a call on whether crypto was right or wrong. What I was saying is if you're going to go into it, it should only represent a tiny portion of your overall investment.
Yeah,
that's
and
all
I mean,
I'm saying.
And the other thing you were saying, because it was our first question in today, when I announced at the top of the show you were going to be on later,
first
question in was, talk to me about Bitcoin. Now, you were saying on your Insta post, forget about Bitcoin, there's 4,000 cryptocurrencies, including the banana coin. I thought you were making that up, but you're not.
No, there is a banana coin. And this is the mad thing. Like, and you see, the thing about it is the underlying technology, the blockchain technology, is superb. Like, it's there's definitely a use in the world that we live in a digital world. That's a superb piece of technology. And then the cryptocurrencies have jumped on top of us. And the thing about it is, and this is another point, I like cryptocurrencies. You can make yours up, register them, and now you've got a cryptocurrency. So how do you know which one's better than which? And ultimately, what is money? Money is fake in its own. Like, the euro is fake. It's just it's fake is the wrong word.
It's
only
not backed by gold. Do you know the way the gold standard used? There was always money in a vault backing up the bit of paper you had in your hand, and there isn't any of that anymore.
But the value in the euro is because you and I trust it. You know that if I hand you 50 euro. That you can go and spend it somewhere else. That's where the value of money comes. And the only thing that Bitcoin or banana coin or anything these things need is enough people to trust it, everybody to trust it. But my point with all of these cryptos is, until central banks start to trust it and start to regulate it, it still has that barrier, because everybody has to trust it, not just some people. Everybody has to trust it
and
before
you don't,
it becomes mainstream.
You know, to me, you don't really want anything that you have to believe in. It's a bit like a pyramid scheme that you don't know is a pyramid scheme. You have to believe you're going to get to the top, get to the centre, get your money back. And I'm talking, I mean, the pyramid scheme king of them all, Bernie Madoff, his death was announced this week in prison because the whole flipping thing fell apart. Well, let's go from then the sublime to the ridiculous to the sublime, because our next question in is about gold. Is that worth investing in? And when do I know when I should sell? Well, now there's a question I'm going to leave entirely up to you, Owen. Off you go.
The reality is gold is just one of those things. It's a hedge. And what people use gold for is that if they believe the world is going to fall apart, the financial world is going to fall apart, they rush to gold and the value of gold goes up. One of the biggest problems with gold is if you buy a property, you get rent off it, right? If you buy a shares, you get a dividend off it. If you buy gold, you get nothing. It just sits there. It doesn't generate any extra income, okay? So that's one of the big detractors to gold. And again, people would say, okay, so if I'm going to invest in gold, how much of my money should I put in gold? And that's where people get it wrong. They go investing like all of their investable assets. And investable assets is just a nice word for the money they have ready to invest. Mm. They go stick it all into gold. You should never have all your money in anything. And yes, gold forms part of an overall well-diversified portfolio. But are you going to, if you're putting 100% of your money into it or any more than kind of 10, 15% of your money, now all of a sudden you are betting, you're not investing, and you need to be really careful about that.
Does it matter what, if you are looking at gold as a hedge or just as an investment, does it make a difference, do you think, whether you buy it actually in an ingot which sits in a vault or a piece of paper telling you you've got a share in gold or just going to the jeweller and buying a necklace?
Yeah, well, going to the jeweler, you probably won't get enough of it to make it warrant, like, as an investment and something to hold on to. What I would say is that people who are really into gold and really see it as, it's the whole entire financial world could fall apart, and therefore I want to own my physical gold sitting in a vault somewhere, because then I can touch it, I can feel it, I can see it, I can fly to usually Switzerland and go in and see it and touch it. When you start looking at buying options on gold and certificates that say, the people who are really into gold, they say, well, the financial world's going to fall apart, so those certificates will be useless. And that's their concern around there. What I would say is I'm going to be honest with you, Bitcoin, gold, all of these things, investing is not that complicated. Like, it's really, really simple to invest money. In my opinion, it's made overly complex to create jobs for the boys and the girls.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's my opinion. And I know that's not going to go against the grain for a whole sector of society, but that's my opinion.
There's a whole industry it's going to go against. Now, one of the things you mentioned there was that thing of not putting all your eggs in one basket. It doesn't matter what it is, you shouldn't have it all in one place. And that kind of multi-asset diversity is important. So here's a question in from a listener here in to Lunchtime Live. How do you invest in a passively managed index fund as you advise in your book, Owen? It seems impossible for the average person to do because most funds seem to be actively managed. Okay, so tell us what the difference is between a passive managed and an actively managed fund.
So let's start with active managed. Active managed means that somebody goes into work every day and their job is a fund manager. Okay, and what they do is they look at what's going on in the world. So if you take Ireland as an example, the big companies in Ireland are like CRH and the banks and these big, big companies. If you just buy the stock market, the Irish stock market, you'll buy all the companies listed on the Irish Stock Exchange. That's what happens. If you go to a fund manager and say to the fund manager, I want you to beat the Irish stock market. I want my money to be invested in Ireland, or in my case, I prefer if it's invested in the entire world, spread across the world, but I want my money invested in Ireland. They'll look at it and say, yeah, we really like CRH, but we don't like that bank, or we don't like that bank. So we're not going to buy that bank, but we're going to overweight our position in CRH in the hope that at the end of the time period, whether it's a year or 5 years or 10 years, that the fund manager who was active beat the passive option, which was the index. Okay, so their job is to go out and do that and to try and beat it and to be a bit more clever than the market. Now, I have my own personal opinions on whether how achievable that is or not. The problem we have in Ireland, and Sinead, you'd be familiar with this, but the biggest problem we have in Ireland, in the US, right, it's such a bigger market.
Yeah,
in the
it's
US,
so small here, though. Yeah, I mean, massive companies, but they're only tenpenny halfpenny compared to what's available in
absolutely
across Europe.
So when we're putting a portfolio together for a client, we will have, like, it wouldn't be unusual to us to have exposure to 4,000 and 5,000 different companies. But when you're in the US, when you're buying passive funds, there is one company over in the US you can buy into the fund for $14. You pay nothing the whole time you hold it, and then you sell it for $14, whenever that is, in 10 years' time or whenever that is. It's really cheap to get access to passive funds in the US. These are the ones that don't have a fund manager. You're just tracking the stock market.
Yeah.
Here in Ireland, there's actually, sometimes you go to certain companies and there's no difference between the price of the active fund, which has been managed by a fund manager, and just buying the stock market. So we really are very far behind. And the only hope we have long term is that fintech companies start coming in, become real mainstream, and they make it easier to do your tax returns and drive the costs down.
And there are some of them beginning to do that. They're not necessarily based in Ireland, but they're accessible to Irish people. And actually that whole thing of the bricks and mortar and having to go into a stockbroker is probably going to go by the by anyway. Okay, Owen, we've
just
another...
word of warning on that, Sinead, sorry. Yeah. If you are exiting some of these fintech companies where I've seen loads of people blow up, is they're doing it and they start to make money out of it and they don't realise that the taxes aren't being looked after. They need to look after their own taxes and it can get quite complicated. So just be very careful.
You're going to have capital gains tax if you make a profit on that and you have to declare it. Isn't that right?
And you might have income tax as well. So you should be very careful.
Okay. Now, I, in my circumstances, says a caller, I'm married with two kids, kids aged 5 to 7. Myself and my wife, who are 50 and 40, are working. The mortgage is paid off, lucky you, and we've 200,000 in savings in the bank. It isn't in any special savings account. So what options do we have? Well, at the moment, Owen, that money is just being eaten away by both inflation and possibly negative interest rates to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, let's give the numbers. Let's bring the numbers down to more manageable numbers. And in my head, never mind the listener's head, if you had 10,000 euros sitting in a bank account for the next 4 years, the best you can get, the last time I checked, was 0.5% per year off one of the state savings.
That's nothing. That's
4 years.
Nothing. Yeah.
Think about that. That 10,000 euros will turn into, in simple interest terms, 10,200, right? If you think about what inflation is supposed to be, inflation is just the cost of a basket of goods. It's 10,000 euros. Something that costs 10,000 euros today will cost 10,800 in 4 years' time. So what you've done there is your money has gone from 10 to 10.2 and the cost of the things you want to buy have gone from 10 to 10.8. You've lost 600 euro. So what that person needs to decide, the first decision they need to make is how much of that money do I need in the next 5 years? And anything I don't need in the next 5 years, now let's start looking at the longer term investment. Let's start looking to see where I can get better than inflation, better than charges and a little bit of return for myself without turning up the risk too much. Just be careful about the amount of risk, because if it's sitting in cash, it's because they've never, they probably haven't done this type of thing before.
Yeah.
So they just need to get a little bit of advice here and see what they can, what they're comfortable with and what they'll be able to sleep with at night.
Okay.
Because otherwise they're losing a whole pile of money.
All right. So pay down debt, take your short-term money for 5 years and then look at actively investing it with good independent advice. I'm sure you recognise Owen McGee. Right. OK, well, listen, thank you. I could talk to you for hours. We could do the whole show on it, but sure, that would just be boring for everybody else listening in. But it's been very, very interesting for me. And Owen McGee, thank you so much for joining us on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.